Sometimes letting go can be difficult. Letting go means releasing fear of the unknown, and let's get real. The uncertainty of the unknown can be terrifying. I still have a hard time with it, but my biggest lessons in learning to let go occurred after my mother had her stroke. Hi, I'm Kara, and welcome to Familiar Strangers. This is a podcast that shares my story and the stories of the many, many incredible people I have met on my life journey. This is episode 3, part 3, about second chances. Second chances don't come around very often, but when they do, oh my God, hold tight, breathe deep, and enjoy every minute of it. My vision was correct about my mother having a stroke, but she didn't die. Instead, for 6 years, she lived in her worst nightmare. Paralyzed on one side, she was unable to walk and went into a semi-conscious state of being. This new way of being didn't happen all at once. She tried to live at home with a caregiver for a while, but it was too hard on Dad and she needed more support. Eventually, her mind retreated deep within and part of her just gave up. While she was in the hospital, our new family gathered to come up with a solution to our situation. It had only been 2 months since Otelia's death. The girls had to be split up, and I offered to take the baby and the 16-year-old. Our neighbor and close family friend took in the 18-year-old and the 14-year-old. My dream of becoming a foster mother came knocking on my door much faster than I had anticipated. I had no idea how to be a foster parent, and truthfully, I was so broke that the social worker, who was super kind, gave me $100 out of her own pocket to help me get groceries for everyone. Life with my son and the girls was difficult, but beautiful at the same time. The long conversations at night with the teenager, talking about the shows she liked, plans for the future, she had so much strength in her, I truly admired it. The baby had my whole heart. We had an incredible connection, and my love for her to this day runs very deep. Of course, the 3-year age difference between her and my son created a bit of conflict, and for the first time, I got a glimpse of what parents with more than one child go through, breaking up arguments over and over again over toys and boundaries. I did start to notice that people would never use the word mother around the baby. I think they were scared it would break open a floodgate that they didn't know how to repair. One day, feeling completely exhausted, I lay on my bed. My room was filled with toys, and I loved every minute of it. But I was so tired. I looked at her precious little face and said, "Kara's feeling tired. How about I be the baby and you be the mama, and you take care of me?" Well, the look on her face is something I will never forget. It was as if I gave this child the most incredible gift that she didn't even know she needed. Smiling from ear to ear, she couldn't contain her excitement. Someone used the word mama. Her whole demeanor changed, and she went straight into character. "Oh yes, let mommy take care of you." She rushed by my side, tucked me in, and delicately started putting her hands on my face. "Oh, baby is sick. Mommy will help." She started making imaginary potions and feeding them to me, repeating, "Don't worry, baby. Mommy loves you." In this simplicity, it was one of those life moments that stays with you. I loved her so much. Unfortunately, she was terrified of the hospital, and this was especially difficult for Mom. Mom missed her so much and wanted it to go back to before the stroke, when she felt like she had things under control and that it was all going to be better. That time in our lives was truly about letting go. The social worker asked me an extremely important question. She wanted to know if I would adopt the baby. I was a single parent at the time, and I was really struggling financially. My business was going under, and I had no child support. I really wanted to adopt her. So I took the weekend to go away and really think about it. I would have done anything for my son and her. But could I? Would I fail them? After I took the weekend away to think about it, I knew the answer was going to be yes. I think I knew that beforehand as well. It's just that I needed time to think and not just jump on this decision. I just needed to figure out how. She was my family, and I loved her. When I returned to Anakinish, I went into the community services office to tell the social worker the news. I'd be the second mother to this beautiful human. But the social worker's face became sullen and her body stiff. Kara, I'm sorry, but there's another contender. I paused. What? What does that mean? She continued. One of Otilia's friends from Zimbabwe wants to adopt the baby. What? Who? How did this happen so fast? Who is this person? I was talking a mile a minute. She doesn't know her. She's not family. I'm family. I'm family. I know, Kara, but we have to favor someone from her own culture. In that moment, for the first time since my mother had her stroke, I began to weep. It was a cry so deep that the social worker began to weep as well. She knew how much I loved that little girl, and now I had to give her up to someone that she didn't know and that I didn't know. I felt as if someone was ripping out what was left of my heart. I got into my car and started driving to the hospital. I needed my mom. As I came to the lights and stopped the car at the red light, I had a powerful vision I will never forget. It took my breath away. I saw myself standing on a stage, speaking in front of a large crowd, and I knew the baby wasn't anywhere in sight. She was not in my life. As much as it was extremely painful, our paths were meant to be apart. When I entered my mom's room, she could see right away that there was something wrong. I just started crying, and I told her about the baby. Mom's eyes filled with tears. I thought she'd be with me too, she said. I really did. We both lay there, supporting each other, at the thought of letting her go. As I share this story 11 years later, and reflect back on that time, I need to point something out. I really was ignorant to what white privilege was or that I was living it. That's how privileged I was, and still am. Back then, I could not understand how they could just pick a stranger to be her guardian just because of where they came from. This probably comes from me being adopted, but now I understand how important that truly is. I may have so much love for her, but I understand now that I would have never been able to support her in the ways that only someone from her culture could. I grew up with that saying, I am colorblind. Now I understand that seeing the different ways we experience the world based on our gender, race, and abilities does matter. When I met her new mom, I was so happy to see how kind she was. And I felt much better about the future she would provide. The other girls went on different journeys, and I moved to Sydney, Cape Breton to start my master's in business administration, something I never thought was possible. I did get to visit the baby a few times over the year, but the last time I saw her, I knew that me not letting go was not fair to her or her new mom. Every time I saw her, she would ask me when I was going to take her home so that she could be with me. A year later, when she was still asking me the same question, I realized how selfish my love for her was. She was never going to accept her new mom if I kept interfering. I never wanted her to think that I abandoned her, but I also felt her new mom deserved to fully have her love. The last time I saw her, I leaned over and said, I will always be with you right here, and touched her heart. My mother never recovered. For the next 6 years, she was there physically, but mentally, she was somewhere else. I grieved a mother who was alive, but not living. As much as we fought like mothers and daughters do, she was always my person. In 2016, I was planning my wedding to that awesome guy Kyle I told you about in the previous episode. I was going to have the wedding in the nursing home so that my mother could be there. She could only handle sitting in her chair for 10 minutes at the most. Services were about 15, so I was going to do everything in my power to make sure she could be there and be a part of the day. Dad called me in Alberta one day and told me that Mom was having seizures. Dad called me up one day to tell me that Mom started having these seizures. It wasn't looking good. I lived in Grand Prairie, Alberta at the time, so I booked my flight home to visit Mom, thinking that it might be the last time and that she wouldn't make it to my wedding. When I arrived in Anakinish, I made my way to the nursing home. I walked down the hallway and entered my mom's room, but her bed was empty. I stopped one of the nurses and asked her if she knew where my mom was. Her answer left me completely shocked. Familiar Strangers is written and produced by me, Kara Jones. If you like the project and would like to support it, I invite you to go to my website, www.karajonesspeaks.tv, or you can check out my Patreon page, which will be available in the description below. Podcasts do unfortunately cost money to create, and with your support, I'm trying to keep it ad-free. Other ways you can support the podcast is to subscribe and share with friends. Every little bit helps.